you might like to, as we open our Sunday school time, you might like to open your Bible to Hebrews in chapter 1. In our exercise and looking, studying the book of Hebrews, which is to fill in and expound God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. Christ's death on the cross is awesome. But then that makes possible the impossible. And the impossible is then brought forth in the book of Hebrews, so that we could understand the benefit and the advantage of being saved, of knowing the Lord. It's an awesome thing. And therefore the warnings, as we did in Hebrews, each warning and then the encouragement. Now, in the light of that, remember when we started Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God did something wonderful. God became flesh, John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. God in his magnificence. And when we did Hebrews, we did all of those little words found in verse 3. Now, having said that, that's the introduction. God is going to introduce the benefits. And so when you come over to chapter 2 and verse 3, the warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, how are we going to escape? How are we going, if we don't care, if it doesn't mean much? In other words, it's just like something else. We do have 100 things around us, and we pay attention to some of them, or one of them, and don't pay attention to the others. What happens if we neglect and don't pay attention? Here's all the things to think about and know, and we don't pay attention to God's so great salvation, his saving grace. We don't pay attention. Now, having said that, over to Hebrews chapter 10. And let me do one other thing that may help you grab this a little better. What we just looked at, and how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And we're indifferent to it, indifferent. Go with me over to, I could just say it and you'd know all these things, but lock them in each time. Don't lock them in your head. Lock them in your head and heart by locking them in front of your eyeballs, what you see. It's what God says. You're locking in what God says. God is saying something. He's letting us help us understand this relationship that he makes possible. And therefore, we want to lock it in and therefore the scriptures. Over to Colossians chapter 1. See. And all of this will help you lock in again afresh, because you can read the magnificent truth in the book of Hebrews and God's Word. And it'll go right in your ear, one ear, out the other, in your mind, and gone. You want to see its relevancy to your personal life. And why are these truths relevant to us? Why are they? Colossians chapter 1, and picking up, if I can, in verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister, a servant, according to the dispensation, the stewardship of God, God's grace, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hidden from the ages, never known in the Old Testament, and from generations, but now is made manifest, clear, public, plain, how so, by the saints, the believers, to whom God would make known. What did he make known? What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? Something God's showing his grace to the not just Jews, but to whosoever's. Verse 27 again, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the mystery? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? The glory, God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, I'm looking out to get Hebrews, to lock it in, and it isn't outside of me. God's doing something to show his grace. You'll catch it in the morning worship again, as we're doing John. God is doing something wonderful. He's going and saving the human heart as he intended when he created them in his image and likeness. And God's wonderful, wonderful will is to demonstrate to an unbelieving Jewish nation, to an unbelieving Gentile world, he's making known his marvelous person. How so? By his grace. Grace, what grace again? What is grace? Grace is the total 1,000,000% giving of God to make everything happen that is supposed to happen. Humans, 0, God, 1,000,000%. Grace is God doing what we can't do, making happen what we can't make happen. So, here's the glory. Christ in you, inside, is the glory of God. Okay, you got that part. So we're going to look out here. I'm looking out. I get my binoculars and my telescope, and I'm going to look out. I'm trying to get an understanding of this glory, of this relationship. So I'm looking out. I look at from Washington. I'm not so going to get it there. I'm not going over to NATO. Not going to get it there. Where am I going to get it? I'm looking for the glory. There's my family, my friends, my enemies, my job, my home, my health, my wealth. Where's my glory? But I don't see it. No, God said it isn't there. The glory that you now have is my glory, said God. When you received my Son as your Savior, you received the wonderful glory, the grandeur, the greatness. Remember the word glory, Old Testament, 3 W's. Wealth, worth, weight. Riches, wealth, weight, like an elephant, lots of weight. Wealth, worth, weight. Looking, weight. Looking to God. So here we go, looking to God. And that's the glory. The glory of God is in Christ, in the believing heart. Therefore, John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, and you'd recall, as we did have been went through this already, John chapter 17, but just tying it together, John chapter 17, picking up in the light of the last words before his going to the garden and crucifixion. John 17, picking up, please, and I'll read verse 21 simply to lock in the mood. That, 17:21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that, purpose, they may be one in us. Why, purpose, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The church is to be his witnesses, Acts 1:8. Verse 22, how are we going to do this? And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that, purpose, they may be one, even as we are one, a unique relationship. I'm going to make that relationship that God in his perfect humanity had with the Father, he's going to give that to us, a unique in his Son, so that we're able to have a relationship to God in the Son, in the person of Jesus Christ, by way of his crucifixion and death and rising again. He's going to make possible for me, for you, to find yourself in Christ, Christ in you, and God looks at his Son and finds you. When he looks at his Son, he finds you in his Son as a believer. That glory is what he's given us. Now, hang on, Romans in chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up the thought in verse 17. And if children, which we were just talking about, and if children, then heirs, not only heirs of God, we're not only in the inheritance as heirs, but we are joint heirs in common, because where is God finding you? In his Son. His Son is the heir. It isn't his Son on this side over here, and you're on this side over here, heirs. No, it's God in Christ, and you're in, I can't get my arm there, but I could. My rotator cuff's gone. Anyway, rotator cuff, ready. He sees his Son as the heir, and you're in his Son, joint heirs. You want heirs like this. You're joint heirs. Hang on. Now, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now verse 18 in your mind. For I reckon, calculate, compute. I reckon, I calculate, I compute that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Where is this glory? It is not here. It's when you receive Christ. God in Christ is God's, is the glory. He gave you a relationship to the God's glorious person. And that's, what are you telling me in Hebrews? Do you understand what I did for you? Where I am? I'm bringing you all the benefits in Christ. And you need to exercise them. Do it again. Over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians. And in chapter 4, and in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, recall verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing," and it is, dying, the thousands of trillions of cells or whatever all the time dying, we're dying. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing," the physical body in which we live, "yet the inner man," the person inside the body, "is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, being in this body, in time, on earth," so going through just being here alive on planet earth, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Where's your emphasis? Well, I don't see it this way, maybe. You get your job, you get retired, and do all the different things that you do, and you do them. But then they all go downhill. They go uphill, now they go downhill. So therefore, when I'm all done, I don't have anything. Well done. There must be something other reason that you're after God. God has done something to make the relationship not to planet Earth and not to eating and drinking and coming and going. It's your relationship to God to enjoy God's awesome person in a most awful, awesome way. To enjoy God's person. And that is what you're going through. You're learning to enjoy God in the thick and thin of experiencing life. And as you're learning to enjoy God, you'll find everything here is going to disappear. All the headache and heartache and pain you had last week is all gone, isn't it? It's all gone. Whatever disappointments, whatever you had in job, work, home, it's all gone. And we'll live today, and tomorrow it'll be all gone. So God, we aren't storing up anything, no. In fact, it's all going downhill when we look at the world system in which we live. So God, what are you doing? I want you to understand what it's about. It's about me, God, in the believing heart, being exercised to enjoy God's wonderful person, so that all the world, which we read a little bit ago, that the world may look at the believing heart and see the risen Christ. God, did you create us humans for nothing? To be flunkies? No, no. I created you for my honor and glory, and I want you to enjoy that honor and glory. And it isn't in the world system. Love not the world and the things that are in the world. Don't get caught up in that. You'll lose. I want you to enjoy your relationship to me and what I'm doing. I'm helping you learn your relationship to me, conform to the image of his son. We are changed from one degree of glory to another, 2 Corinthians 3. And where you're here, where you're there, well, look at it. Why should I say it to you? Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you didn't lose it yet. 2 Corinthians 3, and in verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," freedom. "But we all with open face," no mask, wide open, straightway, face to face, "we now with open face, looking in the mirror, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And as we look and we keep staring, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord, we're changed." God said, that's what you ought to be looking at. You enjoy being my children, my sons, my daughters. Enjoy it. Exercise it. in troubling and troubled times. Anytime, just enjoy and exercise your relationship. That's what I want you to do. And you'll be changed, because that's the glory. The book of Hebrews is about that magnificent truth. You got it? Now, that helps us over to Hebrews. I hope it helps. Over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, if I may, and you'll remember verse 34, moving, remember now the warning, very stern, straightforward warning. Do you understand? If you sin willfully, verse 26, after you've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's nothing to do. Verse 29. How much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the blood, Son of God, didn't think anything about that, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, his death on the cross, as nothing, and wherewith he was sanctified and set apart, an unholy thing to be set apart for God's good and God's glory, is nothing, and who hath done despite or insult unto the Spirit of grace. Now, if you go against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, would you tell me where you're going to come out in this? You're not going to come out good. You've eliminated everything of God's grace to save you. There's nothing left to keep you from being unsaved. That's what you're going to be. It's impossible. And it's a strong thing. It's a boot in the britches. Is that all right? It's a kick in the pants. Get with it. It's no game. It cost God His Son. That's what we're doing in Sunday in morning worship. It cost God His Son. That'll help you with tonight with defection. The defects make for defection. And you understand, look at the church in the world we live in. We just did it a week ago, Sunday ago, but here it is again. Do you understand? People don't see it. They don't. It isn't serious. What God did. Your salvation is very serious to God. It cost His Son. Hang on. Now, so here we are in chapter 10, verse 34. Therefore, be encouraged. That's what we're looking at, that section, starting in verse 32. And we had compassion on, and ye had compassion on me or them, as we shared last time in the text, in my bonds, in my imprisonment, and took joy fully. In other words, all the believers always experienced in Corinth, in Thessalonica, in Jerusalem, in Lystra, they're all going through whatever. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're there in Jerusalem or in Thessalonica. It's a tough go to be light in the darkness. Darkness hates light. So therefore, the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. In other words, and they were looking, and they remember they lost their job, they lost their home, they lost their imprisonment, whatever, all kinds of things. And they did that, and we shared all that together. They did those things. And they did it joyfully. Why could they do it joyfully? Because you can take my gold watch. It isn't gold. I don't want you to think it's gold. It looks gold. But I like it because it makes me look like something that I'm really not. See, we like gold to cover us so we look better. Now, but what was I going to say about the gold? Oh, in the process, in the process, all of this is passing away, and you can have my gold watch. You can have it. If you're going to take it, take it. That isn't going to make me lose my salvation. I don't lose anything. I just lost my watch. I just lost my home. I just lost my job. Whatever it is, that's all you did. You didn't lose anything. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. That's what they did. And they did it like everybody else. That's the way it is. If you were in China, and China, a place certainly standing out, of what they do to the people and how they do it is awesome. And you and I, if you get pieces that, if you get the details, the best we can get details, you won't be happy. They're very discouraging to have them now. But, so we're looking, God. We have a better and more enduring sacrifice. And God is put in heaven like we shared in Peter. God has stored in heaven our eternal inheritance. Well, what do you mean in your inheritance? Romans 8 and 17. You're not just heirs, you're joint heirs. All that Christ has made possible is yours. And no one can touch it or change it in Christ. It's locked in. Done. Now, so therefore, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Remember the words free, frank, boldly. For the same word, bold, confidence. Cast not away your confidence, your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. Don't push it aside. Don't get rid of it. Don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your boldness. Why are we going to be bold? Because God did it for us. I didn't do it. God gave it. And God expects us to use it and enjoy it. And God said, you're going to be, do it. What right have you got to do it? None. What authority do you have to do it? None. Why I can do it, and I am to do it, you're to do it. Why? The believer is to do it. Because God is honored. He's already done it. And you are going to believe him boldly. Not meekly and not, well, I don't know, God. Can you do it, God? If you can do it, try it, see. If you can help me, God, see. No, boldness. Do you understand what I made possible? Absolutely possible. And it cost me Calvary's cross. I want you to come boldly. You're in Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all place, by the household, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. God made something possible so that you and I could, remember, the veil is rent in two, and we're able to come straightway to God. And we aren't to mess around, straightway to God. We say, Father, my Lord, my Father, straightway, boldly. That's what pleases God. God, I don't know, you know, we got all our little chit-chats where we do things, and we come to God. But we're to come boldly, and that's what honors God. It isn't because you're guilty, and I'm guilty, and faulty, and fail, and a thousand other words. But when it comes to my relationship and yours to God, that's a settled thing. And I can't use any of my dumb excuses about my mood, my feeling, my fears, my faults, my stupidity. I can't use any of that. I can't use anybody else's stupidity that I try to blame. I can't do it. There's only one way, God, boldly to thy throne of grace. That's what honors God. That's what he's looking for. Turn the pages of the gospel. That's what he's looking for. He tries to find someone who is bold enough. Remember the father that had his servant, a child, and the servant said to him, you don't need to come to my house. You just say it right where you are. You take care of the problem right where you are, Lord. I don't want to bother you. You got a lot to do. You just go fix my problem. You don't have to go anywhere. God says, what a wonderful faith to find somebody that believed me, that I could just do it. And he did it, didn't he? He did it because he believed. I don't find many people like that. No, they want to have a whole lot of stuff and talk about it, think about it, worry about it, etc. Now, so in the process, back over to Hebrews 10. Cast not away your confidence, your boldness. And if we want to drive boldness home a little more, so that, and I think it's worthy to do, I don't know many people that are bold to God. Because we don't see everybody all the time. But I don't hear about it. I don't even read about it. Boldness to God. Do it again. Over to 1 John. And in 1 John, not far away, and you will notice 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 28. And now, little children, always in the context, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, boldness, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We expected his coming. He is coming. That's what he said he's doing, period. So when he comes, are you going to be no, there's no question we'd be surprised, I think, from a human standpoint. Well, no, we expect God to come. And we say that, he is. Remember, that's what 2 Peter, it marks the characteristic of our day. God never did the flood. Where is the promise of his coming? See, he's never coming. The believer says he is, and I'm waiting for him. Boldness. Boldness. I'm waiting for him. Now, over if I can, at chapter 3. Chapter 3. And in verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, in other words, your heart's right, you're looking to God and trusting God, abiding in his saving grace, and how are you going to find, I'll look at that, beloved, if your heart condemn us, then have we confidence, boldness toward God. Now, if a heart doesn't condemn us. Now, how are you going to determine that? The heart doesn't condemn us. Well, there's all kinds of ways to think about. I'll give you one. Easy. 1 John. 1 John, chapter 1. First John 1. And may go, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. On the other hand, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So as I walk in the light, just think of the lights. As I walk in the light, I'm very conscious. What am I very conscious of? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So no one, the believer that's awakened to the fact of their need of a Savior, the blood of Christ, because of their sinful nature, they know it. It's always there. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So now I'm going to read verse 7 again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What am I knowing? I'm in the light. I just read verse 8 and verse 10. What's it tell me? If I say I have no sin, I'm a liar. I deceive myself. So I know I have sin. I'm in the light. I know. If I walk in the light, and what do I know? I know that I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's what I know. What else do you know? The blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing us from all sin. So I'm staying washed, staying, enjoying God's forgiveness and God's saving grace. That's what I'm doing. How did I do it? I didn't do it with roll up my sleeves and I'm going to do it. No, I didn't. Well, I boldly come. My heart doesn't condemn me. No, because I'm not trusting my stupid heart. Are you? Who cares about me? I don't care about me. They'll say, what? No, I don't. There's nothing about me. It's all about him. He saved me. He saved you. So I don't care. My heart doesn't condemn me. I got all the same lousy stuff that some of you have. I left out some of you so that you feel better that I left you out. I got the same stuff you do. I got the same Savior. And God's doing a wonderful thing. And he saves us. And he's cleansing us. We can come boldly. Back over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us, not, it doesn't condemn us, no. Then we have confidence, boldness toward God. And we ought to have boldness toward God. Chapter 4. Just to show you, boldness everywhere, confidence. Chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, complete. Of that purpose, I want to understand God loves me, and it's not a halfway house, it's not a little bit of love, it's the total, wonderful, finished work of Christ that saves me, finally finished forever. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're looking for God, and we have boldness, not only looking for his coming, we have boldness in the light of God's going and his judgment. And this awful judgment. There is an awful judgment. But I'm not going to go through that same judgment. And neither are you if you're saved. I'm not going through that one. I don't mind the other one. I wouldn't mind the first one. Ugh, no good. But the second one, I don't mind judgment. No. Why? Why not? Hold your finger here. 1 Corinthians 11. And 1 Corinthians 11. And may I pick up. And chapter 11. Picking up, if I may. In chapter 1 Corinthians 11. And in verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, sick and sleep, those that have died. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So God, I 1 John 1:8, 1 John 1, 6, 7, 8, 10, 9, 10. I judge myself, God. If I, it's a sin. I'm not, I got sin, God. I don't even understand. I can't even explain it all to you, God. It's just my nature. So God, what do I know? In verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Why not? Because, but when we are judged, we are chastened, spanked, disciplined of the Lord. That purpose we should not be condemned with the world that is judged. My Father will spank me. My Father will never condemn me like the unsaved. Can never do that. Can't do it. And his Son can't do it. 1 John chapter 4. Because, the end of verse 17, he is, so are we in this world. Sliding over to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up, and you know the, all of this, light, locking it in. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that's why we're reading them, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, be knowing, normally, just knowing you're alive, knowing that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, always in that connection, knowing, verse 14. And this is the confidence, the boldness, the free, frank, fearless. This is the confidence that we have in him. What is that? If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Not your will or my will. We want God's will outworked 1,000 times, I said it. Ephesians 2:10 and all of it. God's will or work. God has a wonderful purpose for creating you. To know him. To be to exercise that relationship and to enjoy it. That's what you're to do. And if we ask anything according to his will. You want God's will this morning. You want God's will this afternoon. You want God's will the middle of at midnight tonight. I want God's will. And God, if I ask anything according to his will, I want his will. I will do it. Being confident. Verse 15, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth, verse 15, whatsoever we ask, we know that, we have the petitions that we desired of him. You don't have to ask him 10 times. You don't have to tell him 10 times. I want God's will. That's what I want for me today. I don't know about you. I have to say, God, your will. What do I do? And God has to help me. It has to help you. It has to help me. That's what we do. God has to do it. I have no idea how to do it. I couldn't do it. I think of all these things. Think of all these things we just thought about, and God gave them, and I never thought about them before I crossed the street. If that helps you. Because you're answering. I want to answer how and why does anything work. I don't want to just, I hated that. I hated that when I was a boy. Anyway, you want to know why things are, don't you? You want to understand. I want to understand my subject. That's what I did, engineering, whatever. I want to understand my subject. That's what I want to do. I'll spend hours, whatever it takes, to understand my subject. And I'll buy 1,000 books, almost, and buy 1,000 books. What? To know. Whatever it takes, you know. Wow. Anyway, you do the same thing. We want to know. Therefore, we want God's will in a wonderful way. Back over to Hebrews. Now, Hebrews You say we didn't do much in Hebrews yet. That's true. But if we gained anything, if we did, you'll learn how to exercise some truth about abiding, about confidence, about boldness. You got a little bit in you to work it, to exercise it. But what good's it if it doesn't? If you don't know it, you can't use it. What's good's a tool you can't use? Hebrews in chapter 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Recompense has to do with payment, the payment of wages. God pays wages. God pays it. God gives you. You can't come boldly to God, and we just read places to understand, to see it. Come boldly to the throne of grace, 4:16 of Hebrews. Is there we find grace and mercy? What are we going to do? We exercise boldness. And God, if you think of John, Deuteronomy 4 and all the way through history. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now that's Matthew 6. But it relates to Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. I'll reward you. You cannot come in my direction and not find me. You'll find me. And God, in this wonderful, God's going to find. And therefore, Hebrews 11, you can understand the next chapter of where it's going to go. Chapter 11. And in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a God, and B, that is a rewarder, a payer in full of them that diligently seek him. You can't seek God without finding him. We did it on Sunday night with the blessing. You can't escape the blessing of God. You can't go down the corridor of time in God's direction and not have his blessing. And you don't have to hunt for his blessing. You don't have to ask God for his blessing. It's just going to be there. God's going to work everything together for good. God's good will going down the paths of righteousness for his namesake. God's going to do what he does and help us. And the headache, the heartache, the things that we have, we go through the bumps and bruises like everybody else. And what are we doing? We're learning how to be content with such things as we have. And we're looking to God. And as we look to God, we trust God, thank God, and get down the corridor of time. Down the corridor of time. And in the process. So therefore we're going to go, and you have need, after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. And that, what is the promise? Remember what God said? God has a wonderful promise. Now, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to look to God. And in verse 36, if you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, you have need, that's the usage. What do you need? You need patience. Patience is endurance. Long before endurance, bearing up under the load. Remember, you put the load on, here's the load, and you carry the load, and you don't put the load down. Being patient means you keep carrying it. You keep carrying the load. You don't put it down. You go down the path, you're going down, you're trusting God all the way to the end. You're walking in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. And we just keep walking, but walk by faith, not by sight. And we keep walking down the corridor of time, and we stay under the load, under the load, under the load. We don't back out. We don't back away. We endure. Now, and thus in verse 36, we have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, so, God, you're going to find me. And so God hears the normal transaction or a transaction. God, I would like to know what your will is for my life and whatever. I would like to know that, and I'd like to know what should I do about this and that. And I want that. So God, let me know. I'd like to know. And God, I may like it. I may like what you give me, what you have, but I may not like it. So, God, here we are. So God, using, it's a silly thing, here's the arm. God, I want your will. You can fix this thumb thing without any, nothing to it, you know, but what happens if you don't want to fix it? What happens if you don't want to fix it? Well, God, if you just tell me, just give me a little clue here how to do this. I'll do it. I'll see if I like it. See if I like it, see. And I've been waiting a long time, and God never tells me anything. Why? Because after you've done, you trust me through the whole thing, and you'll know I was there. That's what you'll know. I'm not going to give you anything. Most of us want to have, give me a clue. Should I marry this person? Should I do that thing? Should I do that? Should I do this? We want to know. And then we, if we like it, we'll go with it. God said, it doesn't work that way. After you've done, you do. You trust me and just go 10 feet, 10, 20 feet. Keep walking down that corridor. Keep doing that. And after you've gone down that corridor, you will know. You'll find me, and you'll find how you got down, how you walked down that corridor so safely and securely and got this far. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to trust you. I can't know it, see. I don't know it, see. Don't understand? You just do it. And after you've done the will of God, you'll know, you see. I get up here and I say, I try to mumble a couple of things as best I can to you. But if I have to have my arms in slings like this, you see, it handicaps me, see. I'm exaggerating, I hope. If I have to do this, what kind of thing is this, God? I have to do this for a month? Come on. I mean, I can't do that for a month. I can't even put my T-shirt on. How can I put my T-shirt on, see? How am I going to do that? No. I have to let it go. You have to let it go. And after you have done the will of God, you'll know. You'll receive it. Got it? I got to quit. Appreciate your patience. I hope you got a little bit. We'll finish Hebrews sometime at the rate of speed. Thank you.